right. We're going to open the May 19th work session of the Great River Regional Library Board. We're going to be going through, first off, a presentation by Brandy and Addie, just walking us through for all of us to hear, and want to welcome Benton County Board, but for all of us to be hearing and understanding the things at the same time with regard to the operating budget breakdown, regional versus local operations. We'll get through, let them get all the way through that. So write down questions, clarifying questions or thoughts that you have along the way. That should take about 10 to 15 minutes. And then we'll have about 10 to 15 minutes for a conversation. And just to kind of kick it off, this is a reminder for all of us that the Great River Regional Library operates as a 6-county entity, and that we come together to be making sure that our residents are able to utilize facilities and our collection wherever they live, and that we are able to share costs as well as benefits together. That's all determined by a formula, which means not all counties pay the same thing. And that's kind of where we're going to start off, but I know that's something that at least our board members spent a lot of time talking about and thinking and understanding. So with that, I'll turn it over to Brandy.
All right. Welcome to our Benton County collaborators. We're happy to have you here today. It will be me and Addie, and
we'll have you introduce yourselves at the end, after we get through the presentation.
Wait. At the very end?
After she does her presentation.
Okay, thank you.
I lost my Addie. Let me get my Addie. Nope. You sit here.
And Monty, you're certainly welcome to come up, too, if you'd like.
Yeah.
All right. I figured that answer was no.
He's in a good place.
All right. So Addie and I are going to go through, and again, like Cheryl said, just give some general information for everybody about how things work with the funding and that. Okay. So where we start is who pays for Great River Regional Library services. So tax dollars from cities pay for library buildings and furnishings. Tax dollars from counties pay for residents' access to library services at whatever Great River Regional Library is most convenient to them. And then state and federal funding supports additional services like interlibrary loan and shared databases. So the signatory designations, again, that is the amount that the counties pay. The joint powers agreement or the signatory agreement, we use those two words interchangeably. The signatory agreement designates who is on the Great River Board. So under point 2, it says that the library shall be governed by a board of trustees consisting of 15 trustees, which shall have all the powers and duties of county boards as provided in the Minnesota statutes. And under 2.1, it says the seats shall be distributed on the basis of budget shares, except that no signatory shall have less than one seat. So one thing about the Great River Board and the counties is that there can be a fairly large range between the uppermost limit of what counties provide, so like Stearns and Wright County, and then lesser amounts from counties with smaller populations and that, like Todd and Morrison counties. And so this JPA has been in existence for decades, way before I came to Great River. But my understanding is it was determined at the time that the fairest way, because of the range that was being provided, the range of contribution, that the fairest way to represent was based on budget share. To note, not every joint powers agreement for a regional library system operates the same way. East Central, they also have a joint powers agreement, and theirs is set up that every member county gets 3 seats on the board. That is not 3 commissioners, I want to be really clear. but every member county has three seats. So that's part of that joint powers agreement to determine those kinds of things. Great River bylaws say that every 3 years, the Great River Regional Board needs to pose the question of whether or not it wants to open up and look at the JPA. The next time to do that will be in 2027. The last few times the question has been posed, the decision by the board has been to leave it alone. So it has been many years since the JPA was changed. All right.
So the Great River budget goes through a six-month-long budget adoption process, all available through our board documentation. We begin by looking at all of the revenue streams other than signatory support. Then what remains is the signatory contribution amount. So for 2026, the approved budget is about $10.5 million. About 72% of that comes from signatory support. How much a county contributes is dependent on the three signatory factors: population, registered borrowers, and net tax capacity. Those factors change from year to year and can change the proportion that a county contributes. So here we have a chart kind of demonstrating the signatory per capita amounts for the last 5 years. Each county's proportion of the signatory amount, once again, varies year to year based on the changes in the three factors. If a county is experiencing significant increases or decreases in population or net tax capacity, that will inform their percentages.
Oh no. My computer. What did it do?
No. I can also do a little point if we need, so. There we go.
All right.
So how is the library funded? Here's kind of just a visual representation of all of the different sources of funding for the library. Each county has its own piece of the pie. In addition, we have our state aid, our reserves use, city agreements and other revenues, and then as well as the interest income that we garnish and the patron receipts from, like, printing, copying, that kind of thing.
All right, one of the big questions that's been coming up a lot lately has to do with the maintenance of effort amount, which is set by the state, and that is the amount that the state requires the library or counties to pay in order for the library system to receive state library services. So the difference between the maintenance of effort amount and the signatory contributions. And throughout the state, many people have noticed that there is a fairly large difference between those two numbers. So one thing we wanted to do tonight was explain the why for that. So the maintenance of effort amounts were set by the State Library Services in 2012 based on 90% of the 2011 contributions. And prior to 2011, maintenance of effort amounts were a rolling amount that was basically based on the 3 years previous payment. But then in 2012, the state said, nope, we're just going to set an amount and that's where it's going to stay. And so what that means is that those amounts from 2012 have not changed. They have not been subject to any inflationary increases, wage increases, anything like that. So the longer time goes by from 2012, the more that maintenance of effort amount doesn't reflect what it actually takes to run a library. Okay? So signatory contributions, those amounts are updated year to year, again, in the method that Addie just described. And because we use the base budgeting process, signatory amounts by definition will reflect inflationary measures and wage increases. That base budget process, again, we got from Benton County, so thank you. And that is basically looking at how much does it cost last year or this year to do something next year? How much will it cost next year to do what we've been doing this year? Sorry, it's been a long day. We also, with the signatory contributions, as you just saw, we discuss over many months. This, our budgeting process starts in January when we pass the timeline. In February, we pass the guidelines of the base budget process. In March, we present the base budget. And then, as in May, we present the preliminary budget. In June, we tend to have a work session to iron out some wrinkles. And then in July, we have approval of the budget. So it's a long process. And again, as Addie just discussed, those percentages change annually based on the three-part formula of population, borrowers, and net tax capacity. And it helps fund the operating budget to maintain the current level of service. Okay? So this graph, Addie and I can talk together about that a little bit, but it shows kind of what those different things are doing, okay? So the red line up there is the signatory amounts. The blue line is maintenance of effort. Again, it hasn't changed. It just stays where it is. The green line down at the bottom is the regional library basic system support, and that is one of the things that we get from the state because all of you are careful to make sure that maintenance of effort is met. So you'll see with that green line that it was pretty static for a long time. Regional library directors worked really hard with state library services to get increases to regional library basic system support. It's also governed by a formula. But it hadn't really changed, and so that had been just flat. And so that's why you see since 2023 that it starts kind of mirroring what's going on with the signatory. And before that, it didn't. That's because of that work to get it to adjust. All right? So that's kind of an overview of what you're seeing. When you look at... I thought I had a little light on this. When you look on the red line up for some significant increases at different points in time, those tended to be tied to things like Minnesota minimum wage increases or contract negotiations that came in with significant wage increases, comp class studies, increases in benefits, things like that. Also in 2022, the board approved adding open hours and commensurate staffing hours to a number of locations in order to try to expand access, especially in our smaller and more rural libraries. Excuse me. And so those explain some of those bumps that with the signatory amounts. One other thing I do want to point out with this is Great River works really, really hard to make sure that we are as efficient as we can be with staffing. Staffing is what percentage of our budget?
About 80%.
About 80% mm-hmm. of our budget is staff because we don't own the buildings. We provide people, books, and the services. And so that means that personnel is our biggest expense by far. So whenever we have a vacancy at any level, we review whether or not we still need the allocations at that same level. We use the calculator, which some folks may have been on the board long enough to recall that that was approved by the board as a way to make sure that the business that's going on in that location warrants the level of staffing that we have. So if we have a vacancy, whether it's an aide or an assistant, associate, we review it. And that is all levels. So one of the things that happened last year is we had two admin assistants, Patty and another person. We did some reviews, decided after that position, the person resigned, weren't sure we needed it. So we went a few months without it. We ended up letting go of a 30-hour HR admin assistant position because we found efficiencies where we could in technology in the new Paylocity software and things like that. And so when I say we review at every level, I mean we review at every level, and we find those efficiencies where we can. Let's see. We'll go to the next one. All right, expense budget. Addie.
Yeah, so here's just a chart demonstrating how the expenses of the operating budget are broken down. Once again, personnel represents about 80% of our operating budget. We've broken it down further into kind of, there's the regional staff, they support all of the branches. And then we have the local staff that supports specific branches. And then we do have a small portion of staff that both support a specific branch and the regional staff as part of their job duties. The other important piece of our budget are our library materials, right? The books, the e-services, the DVDs, all of that. And then the rest is kind of just our general business functions that you need to have to run a business.
Okay. In case you can't see it in the back, the dark blue over a quarter, that's regional staff, and the red at the bottom, that's local staff. We have around 220 people right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All 32 branches.
All 32 libraries. Yep. Okay, this is something we've been talking about a lot this evening, and that's the unassigned fund balances, as well as investment and interest income. It's critical to long-term stability. So, like, if you look at the audit report, as Ashley discussed earlier, there's millions of dollars sitting there, but a lot of it, we can't touch. We need to make sure we have it. So, for example, if suddenly something happened and Great River wasn't around anymore, we would have to pay out PTO for every single one of our staff. And so that means we have to have enough in a pool of money to pay out all the PTO. So there's things like that that we have to keep. And then we also have the money that we use for investments so that we can bring in more income. A reminder, last year it was about $440,000 in interest income that we brought in because of the investments. And that, as our board members know and we've discussed, one of the things that we did last year is we got approval to work with Eller's Investments in order to try to capitalize on that some more and make even more interest income, because we are very well aware that the more interest income we can bring in those investments and things like that, while being safe and careful with public funds, the more strain we take off of the county. So we take that very, very seriously and are working with Eller's to try to find other smart ways that we can use that in order to bring in more things. It helps us maintain those flatter budgets, and we also make really good use of surplus when we have it to go towards things that we need to grow. So, for example, the automated materials handling system. Some of you might remember we call him affectionately Wally. That is an automated system that checks in materials for both the St. Cloud Public Library and regional. And it is a decade past what it should have, what should have been its end of life. So we treat it very gently. We take very good care of it because we need to keep it going on. But we also know when Wally finally goes, we are going to need to replace it, or else we're going to need to hire a whole lot of people, because Wally does a lot for us. And Wally doesn't make workers' comp claims. And so that's really repetitive motion. It is better to have a machine do it. Trust me, I was a library services coordinator in Royalton. I did all the check-in, and it's really, really hard. That's the kind of work that you want a machine to do. But that machine, when we have to replace it, is going to take a lot of money. So when we have surpluses, we come to the board in November and we say, can we put some of that money towards Wally so that when it's time to replace them, we have money there. So that also is some of that unassigned fund balances and things like that. And I think I got all that. So also, as Ashley discussed with the audit, we also have designated and restricted use that comes in through grants and donations. those we can't necessarily count on, and so sometimes those aren't necessarily part of our operating budget, like donations. And we use that, again, in a smart way to try to offset what we're asking from the counties. So, for example, during our year-end campaign, when we get donations in, for every dollar, we have a three-way split. And you'll see that down on the bottom under fund development split. 55% goes to the collection, 20% to communications, and 25% to patron services. So for every dollar that comes in, 55 cents of it we put towards the collection. And we use that to augment what we can put towards our ebook collection because the prices are so high, but also to bring in the, like, non-traditional collection materials. So that's where we do things like the brain fitness kits that are really amazing for folks who are wanting to just keep their brains agile and active as they age. That's where we use funds for some of the other kinds of really cool kits, like the read-alongs and things like that, that are great for littles to learn how to read. We try to use those donations to really augment our collection. I will say when I talked earlier about operating and the signatory amounts being adjusted for inflation, the one caveat I have to say is with the collection. When we look at the collection, the only inflationary adjustments we've made for the past several years have been the cost of databases. We have not made inflationary adjustments on the price of a physical book. And especially in the last few years, the price of physical books has gone up. And so that's where we use these donations to try to offset that so that we can, again, take better care of our counties so that we're being good financial stewards for you and for our patrons. All right? So, again, just to reiterate, city support versus signatory support. The cities provide the 32 locations. The cities provide the funding for the actual physical library. The county and signatory support helps fund library service, and it'll for each of their residents in their county to go to whatever Great River Regional Library is most convenient for them. And we have a lot of people who cross county lines. We have a lot of people who go to multiple libraries. And so because of the way that the Great River works to support service versus specific buildings, that means our patrons can go wherever is most convenient to them. And because we have a consistent model of service in how we do business, that means they will get the same high level of care and support and service at any Great River Regional Library. Let's see. And now let's talk more about staffing dollars. So again, as Addie said earlier, we have regional operations. And so regional staff provides services and support for all 32 locations. All branches receive equitable service. And the other thing that we have because of our consolidated library system model is that when we have things pop up, regional staff can pivot as needed to support individual branches for short-term projects. And especially in the last 8 months, this has been absolutely critical for maintaining good library service everywhere, and I'll talk more about that in just a minute. The other thing is that the library collection is shared, and it floats freely among all Great River libraries. And that is laid out within the library development policy that all counties share ownership, if you will, of the whole collection. So some material libraries can hold more items, but any item can flow to that library if it's requested. So prior to being the executive director, as many of you know, I was the lead patron services supervisor. And in that position, I worked with a lot of cities who were building libraries, building new libraries, renovating libraries. And I worked with several, and I know how hard it is for a city to raise the funds to build a new library. But one of the things that Great River can offer is because we have a consolidated system, because we have a floating collection, that means that no individual city has to build a library big enough for all the materials that its patrons need. They just need to build a library big enough to hold their part of the collection, and these are two different things. So when I was library services and coordinator in Royalton, some of you have heard this story before, but I love it, so I tell it. One of my favorite things was having the first graders come to the library to do a tour and visit and talk to them. They get library cards. It was so much fun. I just live for little kids in the libraries. That is my passion. But I would tell them as we were walking through and I was showing them all the stuff on the shelves, I was like, and it's like I have a magic door at the back of the library that I can open for a million books. And all their faces were like, oh, wow, a million books. But that's really what Great River is able to offer. Again, no city has to build a building big enough for the whole collection that their community would need, just big enough to support part of that. And we have developed a space needs analysis that we can do to try to help cities know how big that piece of the puzzle is. But it ends up saving cities money when they have to figure out square feet for a new building. And it ends up saving the counties and the county's money as well, because we don't have to buy as big of a collection. Okay? When it comes to things like new materials, new authors, new novels, or craft books, or cookbooks, or things like that, we don't have to buy 32 copies. We only have to buy one or two copies, and those can float wherever they're needed. All right? When James Patterson comes out with a new book, we have to buy 64 copies, but that's a whole other thing. But still, we don't have to buy as many as we otherwise would have to if things didn't float. And that means that saves you money. Okay. So the regional versus local staff piece. Who are our regional staff? Our regional staff are staff who support all branches. So that's administration and the leadership team, accounting, human resources, information technology, fund development. But that's also people who do things like fill the bags that go out to the libraries, our distribution staff, our drivers. They're all regional staff. Our collection development staff who select the books, the ones who put the labels on the books, the ones who put the books into the catalog. Those are all regional staff. And because of the way we're set up, we don't need to hire multiple for every county. We can just hire a few people who do that regional work for everybody. You just have one IT department. You have one HR department with two full-time staff that covers all 32 branches, rather than each county needing that. Local staff are staff who support services at specific branches, so that's your library services coordinators, library assistants, associates, and aides, with the exception being St. Cloud Library aides, because they do both. The St. Cloud Library aides do both local and regional. So they take care of the St. Cloud collection, but they're also managing all the regional stuff that's coming through St. Cloud on its way to somewhere else. So they're doing both, and we have a lot of people who do both. So what does this mean? This means it is really, really complicated and hard.
The library will be closing in 30 minutes. If you are applying for a library card, please come to the checkout desk at this time. Thank you for using Great River Regional Library Services.
All right. I'm almost done. So I wanted to give you a couple of examples of regional staff so that you can see it's not just that they are doing regional work, but that because of the way that we're set up, they can pivot in a way that means sometimes the work that they're doing is really benefiting and supporting one library, sometimes a different one, sometimes part of the area, sometimes a different part. And it's that nuance that provides us with the ability to not have to have as many people on our staff, but also makes it really complicated to try to answer a question about how much do we spend on any given library. So one example I want to give you is Jamie. She's our Associate Director of Collection Development. And she has a lot of responsibilities, but two that I want to just point out. She oversees the regional physical and digital collection, and so she works a lot, especially with new staff, to train them on how to use that. We have new staff in different areas, so it's never the same place from year to year. But also, she provides region-wide leadership regarding new builds, renovations, and things like that. So in 2025, Jamie made a significant investment of time co-managing responsibilities with Jeanette. Shout out and clap for both of them for the Elk River reflooring and new shelving project. And when I say significant time, I mean for a period of months, averaging 3 or more hours a week on that project, because that's what we needed her to do. In 2026, I went from being the lead patron services supervisor who had the expertise on renovations and relocations to being having to learn this job, and before she was here, having to learn her job. And so I wasn't able to help. And that happened at the same time that Cold Spring said, hey, we want to put you in a temporary location. So we were able to pivot Jamie so that she can work with Cold Spring, the city of Cold Spring, to try to make sure that that temporary location is as good as it possibly can. And again, that's 3 to 5 hours a week that she is spending in that job. But that's very short term. And so for the question of how much money does Great River invest in the city, in the Cold Spring Library? Well, for the first quarter of 2026, a lot more than normal because Jamie and because of all the efforts going into that. But it's not going to be that way the third or the fourth quarter of the year. And so it's that nuance, that ability to pivot that makes it, that is one of the factors. There's other factors too. But that's one of the factors that makes it so hard to divide out, especially with the regional staff who serve so many different ways, how much of their, of what we pay them goes into any individual library. Okay? And then the last one is Desra, and I'll just do this really fast. Kind of a similar thing. She has been spending hours and hours and hours, along with Jeanette, lately helping get summer aid positions. So we have some branches that bring in extra hours for aides in the summer, during summer reading challenge, when the libraries are the busiest. And the reason we do that is, again, to, like I was saying earlier, we evaluate how much we need, and we try to make smart decisions and cut where we can, but then also recognizing there are times of the month of the year when we need more hours. So we don't staff for the busiest times. But we do give people the option of maybe during those busy times, you bring in an aide for 10 weeks to help you when you're slammed, when you've got so many kids coming in. But that creates additional workloads for regional staff to do all that. This year, there were nearly 300 applications that she and Jeanette reviewed. They did 28 interviews for 4 positions in 7 locations in Benton, Sherburne, Stearns, and Wright counties. So again, 8 positions? Okay. Yeah, Jeanette remembers well. And so again, it's not evenly distributed. I don't quite know why we don't have summer aides up north. We probably will eventually because it works really, really well. And the more we do this, the more we figure out that this is a really good way to do our staffing. So we're putting people where we need them when we need them instead of paying people all year. And that is smart, but it takes that regional coordination to pull that off. Okay? And with that, I'm done.
All right. Thank you. Yes, thank you. I have a quick question, and then we're going to scoot over and have Stevie kick off. Just everybody can say who they are. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can. I don't know if you want us to go around the room or not, but honestly, it's important people just know who you are, right? Mm-hmm. When you were talking about the numbers of staff, how many are part-time versus full-time?
Almost all of them. The vast majority are part-time staff.
So that may be helpful just to know as we're...
I think 60-ish full-time.
Okay.
Yeah. 60-ish full-time.
And that's 30 hours or more.
Yes, 30 hours or more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Benefit eligible.
So, Steve, do you want to just make sure everybody knows who you all are?
Yeah, Benton County Commissioner Steve Heinen, the board chair. Thank you for this opportunity for us to address you guys tonight under this work session. We'll just go ahead.
Pam Benoit, Benton County Commissioner.
Jared Gopinski, Benton County Commissioner.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Scott Johnson, Benton County Commissioner. I've got most of the east half of Benton County, including the cities of Foley and Gilman.
So we have a bunch of questions, I think. Some of my questions were already answered going through this presentation.
Just really quickly, we had asked for the questions ahead of time so we could incorporate it. We only got three, but obviously Brandy tried to get through a bunch more, so there may be some things that you won't hear tonight. We'll have to get back to you.
Mine are easy.
Okay. Four. Okay.
Five.
27.
Eight.
I'm making up numbers for your...
I know you are. Thank you very much. The question, I got a couple questions. They'll be simple and easy. You say you look at the JPA every 3 years. Does the whole board look at the JPA together, or is it just part of the board?
Brandy.
Yeah. I haven't been executive director before when this happened, but my understanding is that basically the question is posed to the whole board of whether or not they want to open it. And the whole board will make a decision and a vote based on that.
Okay,
give
so
them a copy of it.
Yes.
So you ask, you only ask every 3 years. You really don't go through the GPA every 3 years. You just ask to see if they want to open it up.
That okay. is what's in the bylaws. Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that.
But everybody gets a copy.
I can answer
of it.
That a little bit.
Yes.
I think there's been two times Karen brought it before the board if they wanted to look at the JPE, and all times it was they're satisfied on how it worked and where it was going.
Okay, that's fine.
Go ahead. And it's like other things. The board sees it, individual members review it, and then the board comes back and is asked the question. Jared.
And the board is made up of 15 people.
Right.
Now, there's two counties that can control the board.
Probably three counties.
Probably. No, two. There's two. You'd have nine votes.
And
so that's where I'm basically.
So you're asking, your question is, how does that work?
Yeah, how does that work? Yeah.
So a question, I know Karen's not here, Ed, you might have the longest information. In the amount of time I've been on here, we have not had divided votes. We have not had divided votes. People come, we may come from different counties, but when we're here, we're representing the board as a whole. That's who we are. We're now the board of the Great River Regional Library. I'm not Terrell Clark, the Stearns County Board. So when you think about it, that's what happens. So I don't know if there's been a time that there's been a significantly split vote.
No, I don't think there's been a time when it's never been a split vote at all. There's been discussion on the representation, why the three counties, the three smaller counties, only have one position. And every time it was diverted back to when the JPA was...
That's clearly my point.
Yeah.
The three little counties aren't going to get that option.
The other thing is the finance committee is made up of the county commissioners plus one other person. So that, just so you know, every county commissioner is, that's who the finance board is. So that's, all the money runs through there.
Okay.
Okay, next question.
The other question I have is, how are you tracking the library cards? I think, Brandy, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe when you came to the board, it's every 3 years is what you tracked it, or you gave us the number
for library cards?
Cards, yeah.
Sure.
Or one use every 3 years contributes one?
Sure. So right now what it is by policy is that a library card is valid for 3 years.
Okay.
But we are counting how many library cards are currently valid all the time. And we also have ongoing monthly counts of new library card holders. So we're already always looking at that information because our borrower numbers are really important to us. The other thing is we know that not everybody who uses the library has a library card. So one of the things that I have been doing with my team is making sure that we have counts of people, that we are counting people who are using the print-to-go service, which is a cloud-based printing service, to see how many of them have library cards versus not. We've done two counts so far, and so far it's coming out to around 33 to 37% do not have library cards of the thousands of people who use the library for printing every year. So that doesn't mean that they get included in the signatory agreement in any way at all. That's not what I'm saying, but it does mean that simple borrower numbers are not the full picture of who's using the library.
And along with that, could you talk just briefly about some of what the ways you're trying to address how many people does one card represent. So sure, the example might be for like this for you, Steve. No. I have a card. It's really four people because I take out books all the time for my grandkids, right? Mm-hmm. My husband, I take, you know, so you're trying to figure out new ways to actually get to what does it mean. Could you just speak to that briefly?
Sure. So we are in the midst right now of a big database cleanup because we need to do some deep dives into research in number of households, comparing the number of borrowers and number of unique addresses, things like that, to try to get a sense of that. But before we do that, I just want to say we are librarians. We like reliable, accurate information is core. Like that is just so deep. So we are doing a database cleanup first so that when we bring you that information, we can stand by it and say, based on the research that we've done, we generally have this many cards per household so that we can get a sense of that. And then also we will be doing just basically figuring out a way to do a survey of people at the checkout desk. You know, you come up, how many people are you checking out books for today? So that we can also get information from that direction, come in the middle and get that sense of how many people on average are using a library card. Because I also think that's really, really valuable information when we're telling the story of how many people are using the library.
Can I do a follow-up on that?
Yep, go ahead, Jerry.
Sure. You had, before the work session, you guys had brought up the fact that you're trying to renew them automatically so they don't fall off.
Sure.
Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So, great question. Thank you. So, basically, there is the technological capability within our patron database to automatically renew borrowers. Okay? So, basically, we would work with a third-party company who we already use for billing in that. They would verify, yes, this person still lives at this address, and if that is the case, they can offer, okay, we just automatically renew that. Our leadership team doesn't think that's quite kosher, to be perfectly honest. I find that very problematic. And so the other thing that we're doing, again, because we want to give you reliable, accurate information, is looking at what are the reports we could run, if we get to that, to look at which of those people have used the library in the last year. It's a 3-year period that they can have a library card, but how many of them have used the library card within the last 6 months to a year? Those are the people that we want to automatically renew, not everybody. And so it's a larger process of sort of, again, cleaning our database, getting to that point where we can do good research on what's going on with our borrowers and that sort of thing. And then there is a price to that service. And so one thing that we've floated with the leadership team is maybe using some of the funds from our fund development programming amounts that we have. Because, again, like I said before, for every dollar that is donated for, like, the annual campaign, 25 cents of that goes into programming and services. So we could possibly do a pilot project for 2 years to see is that would it do any good? Like, what would happen? With Great River, those of us who've been around, or those of you who've been around for a while, know we love pilot projects because we get a good idea and we want to see, does it work?
The library will be closing in 15 minutes.
So, yeah, that's kind of what
the
that means.
The internet stations will be closing in 10 minutes. If you have materials to check out, please bring them to the circulation desk at this time. Thank you for using this branch of the Great River Regional Library.
So that term is, the auto renew is a term that should probably be changed this state. Looking at my county friends, they use the term auto renew and a fair amount of public economic assistance. And it's not auto, it's electronic verification. So it's like somebody's got to come up with a better things so that we don't have, so we all are not thinking dead people are.
No.
Right. Steve.
Well, those are two of the five questions. Board.
Now, you guys have talked about being accurate and everything like that. Why can't we code time cards? Code time cards to each library, 1 through 32 libraries have each a code.
Sure. So
you wouldn't be able to know on a, you know, 6 month base for budgeting next year, but you would have that data going back 2-3 years to figure out how much each one is actually costing.
So we do code for local libraries, for local staff. So if you recall, I talked about we have regional staff who serve, whose work supports everybody, and local staff. So local staff are coded for the location, where they work, but not the regional staff. And it's really that regional staff is the complicating factor for getting any sense of how much of an investment Great River overall is doing in any specific location.
If you also think about it, the one we're sitting at now sits in a city with 3 counties, and that gets to be more complicated too, mm-hmm. plus all the people who come back and forth. You brought up Royalton before, the number of people that cross lines. So we have a number of places that it would get. We could get to the point where spending all our time, it's kind of like spending all your time writing about something instead of doing it.
Commissioner, I 100% get that. Where I kind of went a little bit, I got upset, I'm not going to lie, when the $6,000 that we deducted or didn't pay or wanted to talk about, when that completely went to the City of Foley Library, and you just verified it, that we got 3 counties that use this one.
At least 3, yeah.
Yeah. So why wouldn't some of that have went to here when we get people coming in and telling us that our county uses 3 libraries, Royalton, St. Cloud, and Foley? But when we shorted, the only one that got shorted was Foley.
So the short answer, and anybody wants to correct me, was this board thought the way to ensure the least amount of to mitigate anything to anybody else from any other county was to focus that amount of money there. That's why. It was because there wasn't a great way to go ahead and do it, because we couldn't guarantee that it was the 3 precincts from Benton County versus the other ones that are Sauk Rapids or the other people on this end or from other places. But that there was some pretty lively conversation about that.
But I'll be honest, I wouldn't be here right now if we were paying $540,000 for 3 libraries. I mean, we've got 1 library within our county. And, you know, I think Stearns is like $200,000 for 11 libraries. All of the big counties have a lot of the libraries and have all the votes on the board. I mean, nothing's ever going to change.
Be good to have other people talk to, but I think you're missing what this is. It's if you think about it, it's residents being able to take library books or online wherever. It is not, don't think of us, how we're funding it might be as individual counties or what our piece of it is, but that's not what the access is. It's the ability to move and be able to go throughout. And again, I hear what you're worried about, that is not what's happened ever in the history of this board. It's just not what happens. And, you know, right now, I mean, like our share is about 5 times what yours is.
But you got 5 times the people, too.
That's not whatever's talked about here. And there's 1 commissioner. I mean, I'm 1 vote. I'm not other votes.
I don't know any, I no JPA that I can think of that I'm on doesn't run that way. You know, the MESB, I'm the 1 Sherburne County representative, but there's multiples from Hennepin Ramsey. I will never, thank God, never be the chair of that thing, because I can't be the chair of that thing because I'm the small outlier county on that one. Tri-County. There's more Stearns on Tri-County than there is Sherburne, which is fine. It doesn't seem to be a particular problem. That's just kind of all the GPAs seem to run that way, you know, that I'm on.
So if Benton County got a library in Gilman and Rice, everybody would be good with that.
If you got a what?
If we chose to get a library in Rice and Gilman, everybody, this board would be okay with that. And what would our costs go up at that point?
So just a minute. So go ahead, Brandy.
So keep in mind, it's the cities that build the libraries. So for that to happen, the city of Gilman would have to build a library that meant met the requirements of Great River Regional Library. And that is a significant outlay. If they did that, it would be up to this board to determine whether or not it would, this board wanted to take that on. Because if we have additional libraries, that's going to be additional staffing, additional collection, all those kinds of things. And so at, some of you may recall at one point in time, the city of Sartell wanted to have a library. They were ready to build it. The board at that time said, no, we don't want another library that close to where, because of where they wanted to build it. That's the only perspective I have from this. It would be up to the board to discuss whether or not they wanted to bring in another library, but it's up to the city to build the actual facility.
Some of the outlying libraries, mm-hmm. what would you say the closest one to each other are?
Isn't there a set amount of miles that they can't be? Yeah. They have to be so far apart.
Well, so, Swanville to Upsala is maybe 7 miles.
Yeah. So to get from here to Sartell is more than 7 miles.
But
no,
that's part of the, when I, we're having the same questions and same thoughts.
It's like four. Uh-huh. It's not.
So where they wanted to build it.
It's just, well, and then remember the last time that in 2006, part of, so when this building was going to be built, the communities around here said, none of us will build a new building. This will be it for Sauk Rapids, for Sartell, etc. This is the building for all of us. And at that time, all of the small ones were grandparented in. Now, some of them are not open very much because they don't have the demand. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's been, but they were all grandparented in.
How old is this building?
2008.
Yeah.
2008.
Yeah.
Can we agree that things do change?
Well, I'm not saying they don't.
I mean, things change.
So, again, you know, if you've got, they change, and under our current agreement, none of those libraries go away. Under the current together, and to change that requires everybody, not the majority of this board. It requires all the signatories to change mm-hmm. if we change that agreement. So that's the other piece within this. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, I'd love it. Personally, I'd love it if you had more libraries. Mm-hmm. But most of them are not very close to each other. A lot of them are on borders, right? A lot mm-hmm. of them are on borders, so you have people from more than one county that are going to.
It's really been more of a struggle to keep the smalls open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Lake was actually toying with shutting theirs down.
Mm-hmm. But why if they're toying with shutting them down, it would save the library system money. And have them come to the bigger regional libraries like this one.
I agree.
You don't want to drive that
that's
far.
But
Ed, okay, wait, all right, wait. Okay, wait. Tina, and then Ed.
They go ahead, just,
Tina.
No, I mean, the communities themselves decide if they want their library. Right. And you said that they have to come, you know. And
Big Lake wasn't going to give us enough space in their new building to build, to put the library in. But then they decided, they decided to keep it in the building it's at. So we're able to maintain the library. That wouldn't have been a significant savings for Sherburne County, the people that if we'd have shut that down. All that would have meant is that the people who live there, who use that library, I mean, it's big, and this was probably the selling point, it's big with the homeschooling community because they're right there, they can use that.
The library will be closing in 5 minutes.
That's basically
kept
it open. But it wasn't going to be like something going to save us a bunch of money.
Please conclude your
wireless sessions. They were thinking of selling the property that they had.
Great River Regional Library Services.
Okay, wait. All right, Greg, can you say those last two sentences again? Because we were getting the announcement.
The last two sentences.
You've got to remember.
they were thinking of selling the property that it sits in. But then they decided to keep that building, and they're going to use it. They're going to use it for the library, and then one other function. Right now, it's a library and it's part of their police station. But they're getting all new stuff.
Okay.
Anyhow, but that wasn't going to be something that was going to save like this big amount of money that Sherburne County's contribution mm-hmm. would have gone down. Yeah. I mean, there's just not that many. They're not open that much. There's not that many people involved.
Well, your contribution would have went down anyways. Hmm? It's not based.
No.
Right.
No. Yeah. Well, I was just going to make a comment, and Randy, you can probably attest that. When Royalton moved from the little library they had by the water tower to the new one, there was city talk about closing that one, and the residents said, no, we will, the city upped the money to keep that library. So it's not about the library in Royalton or Swanville or Gray Eagle. It's about what the community wants, and them, if they want a library, they're grandfathered into this system.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're just going to be real honest. You know, in a sense, we have one library. We're paying $546,000 for one library. That's very hard to swallow. I mean, I understand your everything that you showed tonight on the board and everything. And now when you're saying another 9.6% increase next year, if I did my math right, that's another $16,000 that we're going to have to pay for one library. That's hard to swallow.
So, Steve, again, remember, I mean, I used to live just over across the river and walk to the old library. I mean, this is the library for a big chunk of your folks.
What we are trying to say is please look at the GPA differently so that our bill is not $546,000, well, plus whatever it's going to be next year, probably another $560,000 for one library. That's our problem. We just don't. It's not that we don't understand it. We just have a hard time with that, with one library that we have. And then when we come and you say that a third gets used in Royalton, a third in St. Cloud, and then a third in Foley, we just assumed, we were hoping it was $6,600 less, and that would be split a third too. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, hold it. When you told us everybody in that area is using a third in Royalton, a third in Foley, and a third in St. Cloud, we were assuming, or we were hoping, that $6,600 would have been split three ways.
Sure. And I hear you when you say that. Again, though, I want to reiterate, what counties pay for is not the library. Counties pay for services for their residents to go to whatever library is most convenient to them. So what you're paying for is not one library, it's for 41,882 people to access library services at the most at the library that's most convenient to them. Yes. And
wouldn't that be
including digital
across the board?
Because nobody else is cutting their funding.
Well, I wouldn't either if I was paid $200,000 a library. I mean, you know, we're at $540,000 for one library.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you, Scott.
The board considered. Yeah. Stearns comes in next year and says, with budget cuts, we're cutting $250,000 out of the library. Hypothetically, what's going to happen? Are you going to split that up amongst all your libraries? Are you going to hone in on St. Cloud only? I mean, that potential is there for other counties, maybe. I mean, I don't know. How many libraries does Todd have?
Four.
So what happens if Todd did that?
So under our JPE... We will be given a number that we are contributing.
Yes.
So what you all did was a little bit of a surprise, and right now I'm not going to play Amazing Karnak, but I believe that Stearns County will be paying its share. But I hear what you're saying. I hear your point.
It doesn't have to be Stearns. Yep. It could be every county.
I mean, that's why, again, if you think about it, all the commissioners serve on the finance committee. And part of what we talk about is just broadly paying
the
worry
is now
about what's going
Thank
on.
Thank you for using this branch of the Great River Regional Library.
And clearly, this is not the biggest worry we all have. We all have lots of other worries, right? So, yeah.
And to your point, I mean, I'm not going to speak for the rest of the board. $6,600, it's the principal of us.
That's right.
More than the
and we probably spent almost $6,600 for this board to be talking about this, because we keep coming back, right? Because we've staff that keeps coming. Well, that's why we were hoping for the. Just so you all know, we are friends. So I just want to be really clear. We were hoping for the questions ahead of time, so the presentation could have addressed it. Because this is not a usual thing, and we respect and we understand, and we're trying to make sure that we're working together.
And actually, Terrell,
somebody stepped out of the JPA.
And actually, Terrell, the three questions that we gave you, we were just piggybacking off of that. So they were actually the three questions.
that we got yesterday. We did ask for a week ahead of time. I mean, we were because we wanted to be prepared.
Sorry. And sorry, and so my apologies. I've been dealing with some hospital things, so that was my fault that was late in coming out. It would have been out a lot sooner
we're gonna go
if
five
I hadn't
more
had
minutes,
some issues.
And then if there's anything else, we'll just deal with it afterwards, I mean, in between, mostly because everybody here's been here since 5.
Okay. I have just a couple things, and I guess this is, and I'm not sure why, so maybe an explanation is to that, because I came to the board meeting on February 17th, and when I picked up the board packet, obviously I wasn't able to speak at that board meeting because for some reason it was listed as a special board meeting, not a regular board meeting, and I'm the alternate, so I didn't even know that. I didn't know you had regular board meetings on regular board nights that were considered special meetings, but on the background information that you guys all get, this piece of paper, It says on here, as requested by the trustees of the January GRRL board meeting, I went to the Benton County board meeting on February 3rd to ask the Benton County commissioners to reconsider their plan to provide $6,624 less than the 2026 signatory payment than was budgeted. The Benton County board just declined to make a motion to do so. That's what you guys got, okay? At our county board meeting, which these are our county board meeting minutes, it was stated that Brandy received direction from the county board to obtain detailed breakdown of operating costs by the library, by libraries and county to be shared at a further meeting. So I guess I felt, I can't speak for the rest of my board, but that was misrepresentation, what was said at our meeting, to what was brought back to you guys at this meeting. And I did correct Brandy that night before the meeting, so she did bring that up afterwards. And then the other thing is when I was at a meeting, somebody on the board said that all of the stuff in the libraries is basically 1/6 between all counties, split between all counties. But I'm having a hard time finding that in the JPA agreement because it does not state that.
Sure. So it's in the library development policy that it says specifically that the materials are owned jointly by all counties. And so that is, I believe, what was referred to. And that, and so basically, again, it's a shared collection because we're a consolidated system. Unless there's a very small percentage of items that were, say, owned by a library before that library joined Great River Regional Library. Those things are excluded from that sense of shared belonging, but that is a tiny, tiny percentage. The vast majority of items are jointly owned, like I don't know what to call it, but it's owned by Great River on behalf of the 6 counties that are part of the JPA. So no one county owns the materials any more than any one library in any given county owns the materials. They are jointly owned. They float through whatever library where they're called to through a hold or just sent as a relocation or things like that. They're not owned by anyone.
So I would say consider that, I'm sorry, just really quickly, like a clarification. Because that, we don't each own a 6. We don't. No. That it either was said incorrectly or something else. But we don't each own a 6. Great River owns them all. And together we own them. I mean, it's not separately. Sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
So I'll use Commissioner Johnson's hypothetical here. If 2 counties came and wanted to move on and go to a different, would they just take their 1/6?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but the joint powers agreement does outline how termination would happen. And again, if there were those materials that had been owned ahead of, before the county or the libraries joined Great River, they're dealt with one way. So yeah, that's covered in the JPA, but I don't remember it off the top of my head.
And want to make sure you all are hearing, and I think you know this, but just because I don't want to feel like it's getting tense or anything, we all appreciate our work together. We all appreciate it. We also know that times are, we're just all trying to figure out things. Each different county, each different community has different levers that are going on. What's going on with you guys and some of what you're dealing with is going to be different than what Sherburne or Wright might be, but this is something we do together. It's also a little tricky if somebody really, I know that Benton has looked at it before because of the eastern end of your county, because we're also all required to be part of a library system. So it does get complicated.
Well, Ms. Chair.
Are going to get hit hard at the end of this year for 27. Yeah. We all know that as commissioners.
Right. Right.
If budgets are going to be extremely
yep.
tight.
Yep.
And to yep. know already in May that this is going to go up, potentially almost 3%, that's going to hit all of us very hard.
Sure. So if I can speak to that, again, the budget presented tonight was the preliminary budget.
Sure.
That's yep. part of our process. It's a yep. six-month process so that we can come back at a work session in June with direction that we receive from our finance committee to provide scenarios that they can vote on.
If you guys set that in June, mm-hmm. we're not setting our budgets until September.
Sure.
Yep. And you guys could increase yours by 3%, hypothetically.
Yeah.
And we're going to be dealing with the AFPA, the every other act that's out there that's
yeah.
coming down.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to affect our budget significantly.
Yep, sure. Yep, yep.
A ton of levy dollars.
Right. Yeah. Bobby.
This question is a bit aside, but just recently the Carnegie Library Foundation gave the Little Falls Library hundreds of thousands of dollars.
$10,000.
Just 10?
We wish it was hundreds
well,
of dollars.
Well,
I stabbed
that brother like 100,000.
No, that was, must have been a misprint, what I read.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a couple different libraries that received a large chunk.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what happens with that.
Sure.
Does that help offset anything here?
So basically what we have used those funds for, or the plan for Little Falls, is to expand the ability to use the third floor of Little Falls for the public use. It's really not been used by the public, but we're going to put, like, new best fun materials up there, have reading area, the Friends of the Library will have their own little bookstore up there, things like that. So that is what's planned with that $10,000. Go ahead.
Oh, that money from the Carnegie is a designated mm-hmm. dollars. That
oh, it is,
not,
so it can't be used
right.
for
it can't
the,
be used for a regular operating
yeah, right.
budget. It
I
has
see.
To be designated toward that library specifically for some kind of renovation project.
Okay.
And we had the same thing happen with the Elk River Library. There was a large sum of money was donated
mm-hmm.
by an individual to the Elk River or to the library, but specifically for Elk River.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Interesting thing about the Carnegie dollars is that the amount of the donation has stayed relatively static throughout the program
mm-hmm.
from based on the reading that I've done on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the money that used to build
mm-hmm.
entire libraries.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they donated the money for in two $10,000 increments for my library in my hometown. And that, when it was built, that is a three-story brick library that was built by the Carnegie Foundation for less than $20,000.
Cool.
But
back
I wasn't even
day.
Born yet. So.
Yeah. So I am being mindful of time. So up to two more questions.
I just have a clarifying one,
yep.
if I could, Commissioner Clark. Just so I understand how this is going to work, I'm understanding the Great River Regional Library Board is going to reduce the Foley Library by the $6,624. The Board does not approve that expenditure. Going forward, if that board doesn't approve the next expenditure, going to continue to take the dollars away from Foley until you close it. That's what's going to happen if the county continues to not accept the increases. Is that the end result here, hypothetically?
I can't
answer
that.
Because we only have one library, Foley's going to get shut down.
Sure. I can't answer that question, I would have to bring it back to my board and ask for direction.
She's talking about this answer.
We've done a lot of hypotheticals.
I would say there's a JPE. We have to look at
a
that.
A lot of hypotheticals.
Yeah.
That's what guides how this all system works, right, is the JPE.
I mean, the $6,600 is big. I mean, we know why it's there. So
it's peanuts in the scheme of things.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, with all of these grants that people keep getting from the state, that people say, oh, I got to grab it because they're free, right? Well, it's still coming out of all of our pockets.
You know? No, absolutely.
We got to stop some of this.
Oh, he's not part of this.
And we did it, or I did it.
Afterwards. Sorry, this is just our work session.
This is...
I did it more for... I know what's coming.
I'm sorry.
We got to slow budgets. That's why I voted on the $6,600 cutting. Now, can Benton County survive?
Absolutely,
without a doubt. It's not going to kill us. But it's a principle that if we don't start shutting some of this down, we're all going to get having problems.
And I'm sorry.
This organization grows
just
at
a minute,
less than...
Just a minute, Greg. Greg, just a moment, please. I'm sorry. I don't know who you are.
I'm Tim Henniger. I'm with the Benton County Herald.
Okay, great. And we can talk afterwards. You can talk to anybody you want, but this is our board session. It's not actually a public meeting. It's a working session. You can be here. I mean, you're here. You're welcome to be here, and anybody will take questions when we're done. But that's... They were invited to come and talk with us. We're happy about... Anybody will talk to you afterwards. Okay.
Well, I don't know. Board, you got anything else to say? I think we've kind of set our piece on this in our position that we're taking, unfortunately.
That I was having there.
Yes,
I'm sorry, Greg.
Go ahead.
This organization, what I like about this organization is that it grows at less than inflation.
Way less.
This is one of the leaner outfits that I sit on, because this particular one grows at less than the rate of inflation. The inflation rate for 2026 is 2.75 to about 3.8, depending upon who you look at. This, we're looking at a maximum of 2.68 in growth. So it's not like we're not paying a bunch of money to people. I was a little concerned, actually, looking at some of our turnover rates. They're going back down again. I was a little concerned about that we might have to start paying more money to retain employees and raise the cost of everything. But this organization has been, it runs very lean, you know. I really think it does. I mean, if I didn't think it did that, I would be trying to lean it out. But
a follow-up to that real quick is, we heard beforehand that you're trying to get more books out to people and you're going like that. Maybe it's more locker programs or trucks and stuff. Where does that money come from?
Well, that's what we'd have to try to figure out.
That's what I mean. That is another increase.
Right.
If people aren't coming to the libraries to use the books, maybe they don't want to.
People have postulated that, but what we're getting is, you know, this outfit has given out we just had the numbers here tonight, 518,000 plus some odd books have physically been checked out, and what has gone up is the electronics. The electronics have gone up to, I think it was 147,000. Numbers aren't my thing, but I just remember them briefly. About 147,000 electronic checkouts, and that has risen, you know. But those are both things that are still happening from the library system. The thing that I find encouraging about the library system has been, when we poll our youth, the kids want the actual books. Mm-hmm. So getting the kids to the books, because I don't want dumb kids. I want them to be able to read my chart when I'm in the old folks' home, so they know what damn meds they're given, right? And I'm not that far out from it. So,
Jared, to your point, I mean, this is not, our system doesn't do bookmobiles. It did a long time ago. It isn't. That would be a cost that probably is not ever going to actually get contemplated. That doesn't mean in a brainstorming situation, ideas don't come up.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, the intent for us here tonight was to have you guys be in our position, okay, with one library. At that cost, okay? Now, I can, you know, Greg, I ex- your explanation's great. I get it. Okay, I understand that. But once again, our cost is $546,000 for one library. You know, and that's what we wanted to come here tonight to talk about.
We're gonna be closing this part because it's already past 8:15. So, is there anything else, Steve?
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time and consideration. One more question: how much time do we have before we have to act on this? Before you cut the hours in Foley.
I believe the motion made by this board was to pause the decision through the end of June, which is the end of the second quarter, and see if the full payment was made by then, and then resume deliberations after that.
And Steve, just because just so that we've kind of both sides have said it, you're saying we have one physical library, and what we're saying is you have full access to everything for all of your residents. And those are two different ways of looking at the same pie.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay, we're gonna complete. You need to stop.
Yep,
right?
We need to take care of the tape, and then we can resume.